I've been waiting for this wake-up call. There it is. Thank you. To be awake, and that's the reason why we're here, the awakening, simply means not to leave this moment. Of course, you can't leave it, but internally you can move away from it. It becomes obscured by mental noise, by reactivity. And I'm not here to teach you anything new, because that's all in the news, all the new things you can hear about and read about every day. This is not a lecture as such, not an information-based seminar. Nothing much is added to your mind, the content of your mind here. What for? There's so much there already. The essence of our evening together, it does not lie in the words. One could say it lies in the spaces between the words or underneath the words. And that's a statement that the mind cannot do very much with. What's he talking about? And that's precisely the point. Because this, our evening together, is not directed towards your mind, thought, adding to thought, adding to knowledge, adding to who you are, becoming more through adding something, feeling that now I am more after leaving here, having added something, you feel you have grown. But you won't. So that tendency within oneself of wanting more, looking for the next thing, wanting to add to, grasp for this, and wanting always, of course, the next moment, what's he going to say next? That's an enormous momentum in the collective unconscious that pulls you towards more and towards, and of course more implies future, because you're looking for something to add to, because there is some sense of not enough yet. I am not enough yet. I'm not fully grown yet. I'm still evolving. I haven't reached the flowering yet that is possible. And everybody feels that inside in some way, that the flowering hasn't happened yet. Or in some of you, perhaps it's already happening and you know it. So there's the looking for more And there's the looking, therefore, towards future, because the future is going to supply you with more. And that's a deep-seated mind condition, mindset, mind pattern. And people move into spiritual life in the same way, because they've been seeking to add more to who they are internally, the self-image of who I am, my story. I want to make it more complete, more important, bigger, more significant, the sense of self based on me and my past and my story needs to expand. So what that leads to is self-seeking in and through future. I'm looking for myself, or a bigger or better improved version of myself, through future. Because the whole world operates every year, the car makers bring out an improved version of the, and the computers every year, 3 years after you buy a computer, you have to sell it, or nobody would even buy it anymore. It's always, it's an improved version comes out, and so where's the improved version of me? And of course it is true that on a certain level that operates and that functions quite well, because in this world of form there are certain things that you need to learn and explore and add to yourself. You learn how to cook, you learn how to use the computer, how to speak a foreign language, you learn some kind of profession. And so it all takes time. You need future, you need time to do these things. But there is a deeper seeking there that is not just knowing that, of course, I need time to acquire a certain amount of knowledge or expertise in this or that. But there is a deeper seeking behind those endeavors, and that's seeking for a greater sense of me, identity, self, an enhanced sense of self. And through adding something. And that's the only area where adding to doesn't actually work, and some of you know this already. The only area where nothing can be added is your most essential identity, who you are. Knowing yourself, self-realization, this is what this place is about. Self-realization, the mind sometimes thinks, okay, I've acquired knowledge, I have a degree or two, I have acquired social status in the world, I have acquired certain amount of material wealth, and now I'm going to acquire self-realization as to top it all. And so you move into that in the same mindset as the rest of human endeavors. And that's quite normal. So this is when you turn from a material seeker or a relationship seeker or whatever kind of seeker into a spiritual seeker. So there is the seeking mindset still operating. And what are you seeking for in the seeking mindset? Ultimately, what is everybody looking for? No, whether they are seeking through material things or social status or possessions, they're seeking for a greater sense of me, bigger, expanded, fuller, more a fuller sense of aliveness, rootedness, of That's ultimately the goal of all seeking. Now, in those who are not spiritual seekers, they don't know that. They think, no, I'm seeking wealth, I'm seeking recognition. But if you look deep down, why? What's that wealth for? What's that recognition for? To be more fully myself. And myself is an image in the head, a mind image. That's me, a me. That's me and my story. The sense of identity that is derived from this mind image is to do with me, my story, my past. Who are you? When somebody asks that, the first answer, of course, is your name. That's only, of course, sounds coming out of your mouth, a certain combination of sounds coming out of your mouth. And that's the first delusion when a child, those are the first sounds, some of the first sounds that children learn are the sounds of, who are you? What's your name? And they utter the name, the sounds come out of their mouth, and there's the first self-concept or self-image. And the first reduction of who you are to a finite little entity. This comes, I am John Smith. And then come, then is added to that John Smith, which is only a potential, a receptacle, a huge receptacle, waiting for things to be added to make it more full and more complete. Experiences, knowledge, many kinds of things are added. That's me, my relationships, my knowledge, my this. Parents tell you who you are. That's put into this basket that your name is your name. And so gradually content builds up in the mind, mind content, and that becomes an idea, a sense of identity, a sense of self. And that sense of self is characterized by incompleteness, always. And so because it's characterized by incompleteness, the sense of self that is based, that is story-based, an identity that is past-based, story-based, to think, this is who I am my story, and I can show you my photo album that proves that this is my story, and I'll tell you the things that I've been telling, that I'm telling myself continuously in the head, and I will tell you my story also, and then you can tell me yours, and then we can mutually confirm to each other our identity. And if you're wealthy, you can have towels and napkins imprinted with your initials. Then you know even more who you are, and every visitor who comes will be impressed by how big you are, because now you have your towels with your initials on. Wow. So there's a momentary illusion that, okay, I'm now actually becoming somebody. But not for long. After a little while, the towels with initials on are not that satisfying anymore. And so, after that brief moment of, I've made it, then there's again, oh, I need more to add. It wasn't enough. So there is this, the insufficiency at the root of one's normal sense of identity. Now, people don't realize that that is a collective characteristic of one's normal sense of identity. They believe their sense of insufficiency is a personal problem of theirs. And they believe that there are other people in the world who do not suffer from that sense of insufficiency, who have actually made it, because when I read the magazines and watch films, they are telling me that there are people who have made it. And the ads also, when certain people who use certain products, they look so joyful and happy, they must have made it. So the culture, the surrounding culture, continuously tells you, you can make it, all you need is a little bit more. And then your sense of self, of who you are, will become complete. And then you can relax. You will have arrived home. You're at home then. Oh, wow, I've made it. My story has worked out. And wouldn't that be wonderful, would it? It is in the nature of a story-based sense of self not to work out. And again, the tendency is for this to become a personal problem of mine. My story is not working out. And then the fact that your story is not working out becomes part of your sense of, it adds to your sense of identity, because I am the one whose life is not working. And that can be, it's an enormous adding to your sense of identity. And so, and if that could become a certain, you become miserable with that thought that I am the one whose life is not working out, but that thought has a great power behind it because your sense of self grows. It's a negative sense of self, but the sense of self that is mind-based doesn't mind whether it's positive or negative. All it wants is to grow. And if you can grow in your misery, it doesn't mind. So, we see that the unhappiness is also built into that sense of self that is inseparable from the sense of lack and insufficiency and not enough, and that is unhappiness. So the ordinary, normal sense of self is inseparable from unhappiness. Unhappiness is built into that mind pattern. And again, we make unhappiness into a personal problem. It becomes an unhappy little me. And sometimes the unhappiness becomes so great that it's an unhappy, a big unhappy me. So then you have added that misery to yourself. That's good enough. It works. At least now I know who I am. And don't you dare take away my sense of who I am. Don't you dare take away my unhappiness, because I have reason to be unhappy, and let me tell you about it. And you can see when they tell you about it, how it strengthens their sense of self, me. Right. So it works perfectly on that level. You're looking for an identity, and now you've got an identity. So it's amazing to see how everybody is trapped in such an illusory sense of self, which in some spiritual traditions is simply called the self. In Buddhism, it's called the self. Not the self that is beyond the story, not the self that has nothing to do with your past or your future, but the little me, the self. And the illusion of the self, to see it not in some abstract concept that you read about in a book with some foreign words and trying to grasp some abstract concept of the illusory nature of the self. Well, I wonder if that's, can't quite get understand what they're talking about. And it's so simple to see it in oneself, how that operates, where your sense of self comes from, your sense of identity, and to see how it desperately needs to add more to itself. Good or bad, doesn't matter. And it could add more by sitting here. And some of you may be in a state of a little bit moderate physical discomfort as you sit here, because it's quite warm, may not be very soft, what you're sitting on, they are tightly squeezed together relatively, and there could be a little me complaining in the head. Something in the head is complaining about this moment. And the amazing thing is that also adds to the false sense of self. The complainer in the head is an essential aspect of the false sense of self, because if you can complain in the head about something that is here, this moment, at that moment, your sense of self becomes strengthened, because you are suddenly antagonistic towards something or someone, a situation or a person or an arising condition. You are antagonistic towards it. There is a tightening, an enhanced sense of separateness between who you are and your surroundings, or the condition, the situation, or the person at this moment. So your sense of separateness through complaining becomes strengthened. There's a contraction that happens. And if you're extremely conscious of your body, you can notice a slight, every time you complain about something in the head, which is so normal, there's a slight contraction in that goes with it. And an important part of complaining is you are right and somebody else is wrong. You are right and another person, or maybe it may be a situation, that this situation is wrong. And I'm complaining about I am right. And that gives an enormously strengthens here that sense of self, the me. And everybody's sense of self has that tendency in it, some much more pronounced than others. We have all met people who go through life almost continuously complaining. But it is a collective mindset, the complainer in the head. I'm not talking about accepting everything and never speaking up again. I'm talking about a more subtle complainer. I'm not talking about going to a restaurant and eating the cold soup if it's meant to be hot, and not saying this soup is cold, but I ordered hot soup. There's nothing wrong with that. Or to say I just got my car. You pick up your car from the workshop, and they haven't repaired it. They just charged you for it. So you go back and say it hasn't been repaired, obviously, because it's the same thing happened again. There's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not talking about, okay, from now on, never speak up again, no complaints. That is not even complaining if it is a simple statement of fact. This is how it is. But there too, you could be seeking an enhanced sense of self by making the other person wrong and making yourself right. And then you come with that attitude back to that car repairman. They are put there by universal intelligence to challenge you, of course.